A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Pei Beis, Psachim 82A, pagination page 163. The second half of the page, you'll see Masnisin at the end of a line, and then we begin. HaPesach SheYotza, a Pesach that went out of its proper area. Oshenitma, or it became Tamei. Yisarif miyad, you can burn it right away. This is talking about Erev Pesach. The Mishnah on the next daf is going to tell us that we would not burn on Yom Tif, on the day of Yom Tif itself. We would wait for Chol HaMoed. But if it happened that this problem occurred already before Yom Tif began, then it can be burnt right away. So again, that's the category of Yatza, it went out of its proper area, or Nitma, it became Tameh. These are intrinsic psulim, the Pesach itself became Pasul, and therefore it can be done right away. Nitma'u habaylim oshamesu, if the owner became Tameh, or died, to ubar tsuraso, then you have to wait till it expires and becomes tamei in and of itself. V'yisareif, and you'll end up burning it b'shisha asar on the 16th, meaning the first day of Chol HaMoed. The problem over here is that the Pesach is not intrinsically pasul; it's only becoming pasul because there is no owner. So the Pesach itself kind of sits. And by default, since there's no one that eats it, it ends up as expired time-wise, and therefore can be burnt. Let's skip one line to the Gemara. And the Gemara wants to know how, in the first two cases of the Mishnah, the case of Yatza and the case of Nitma, when it went out of its area or became Tameh, when there's an intrinsic psul, how do you know that it's supposed to be burnt? Says the Gemara, Bishlama Tameh, I understand the concept of Tameh being burnt. K'siv v'habasar asheyiga b'chol Tameh lo yochal bo'esh yisarif. There's a pasuk that says that you should burn such meat that became Tameh, a pasuk in Vayikra Zayin pasuk Yates. But how do you know that if something goes out of its area, that it becomes status of ready to be burnt? Dichsiv, because in the story in Pasha Shemini, between Moshe and Aaron, Ksiv, Hein lo huva estoma el hakodesh penima, you didn't bring the blood of that korban that they ended up not eating, and Moshe objected. They didn't bring it inside. It didn't go improperly into the Kodesh Kadoshim, which would be an example of going out of its proper boundaries. Amar lo Moshe la'Aaron, Madua lo achaltam esachatos? Why didn't you eat the korban chatos? Shama nichnas dama lefnai velefne. Maybe you brought it into the Kodesh Kadoshim. Amar lo lav. No, that's not what happened, Aaron said. And then Moshe continues, maybe it went out, it got downgraded, it went out of the boundaries in a lower form of Kiddusha. Amalo lav, no, that's not what happened, but Kodesh Haisa, it remained in the Kodesh. Amalo, and therefore Moshe asked him, Iba Kodesh Haisa, if it remained in Kodesh, Vein Lehuva Estamela Kodesh Penimu, and it didn't go too far in the Mishkan either. So it remained in its boundaries. Madua lo achalta Mosa? Why didn't you eat it? Now, of course, the reason they didn't eat it was because, of course, I mean, we're using the word of course, because if you learned the Parsha, this was the final reason. They didn't eat it because they were onanim on Nadav and Avihu's death. But Mechlal, what do you see from the dialogue between Moshe and Aaron? The inafka inami ayil, if it went too far out or it went too far in, dama lefnim basreifahi, it would be burnt. And Moshe would have been fine as to why it was burnt. He just asks, if it didn't go in and it didn't go out, so then I don't understand why you didn't eat it. The Gemara continues trying to identify if this is indeed the correct source for knowing that something that goes out of its area gets burnt. Turn the page, and the Gemara concludes about 8 lines from the top at the end of a line. Elokol pesulo bakodesh besreifa. Anything that becomes pasul in kodshim gets burnt. Loshna kodshe kalim, veloshna kodshe kodshim, whether it's the lighter form of karbanos or the heavier form of karbanos, the holier level, gemara gemiri la, it all has to do with halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Moshe taught us from Hashem orally that that's how something that becomes pasul should be handled. Now, we now have to go back to what we learned on Amud Aleph, which was a pasuk which said that Tamei gets burnt, and a story with Moshe and Aaron that tells us that Yotzei gets burnt, and understand why those are mentioned. If this is Halacha l'Moshe Misinai, then what's the need for the psukim? So Yotzei is easy to understand. The Gemara says, Chatas to Aaron, that discussion between Moshe and Aaron, that it would have been burnt had it gone too far in or too far out, Mishum Maisa Shaya Kachaya, that was the dialogue. That wasn't an actual pasuk that was brought to teach me anything. That was the dialogue between Moshe and Aaron, and you see halacha being carried out. That's not considered extra now that we established that it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai. The second thing, though, that we want to address was the very first lines of Gemara, which said that there's a pasuk. It's repeated over here on this page, 2 lines up from the wide. V'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo yocha b'ish yisarev, that if something becomes tamei among kodshim, it should be burnt. Lamali, what do you need that pasuk for? I thought you told me it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai, it's a tradition. Why do you need a pasuk? Hahu l'gufa yitzdurich. That is needed for a special reason, because something that becomes tamei might not be understood to be a regular psul. Salkadai tachamina, I would have thought. First wide line. Kol psulei de kodesh. Any type of kodshim. Kigon lon, dama, v'nishbach dama, v'yatza dama. Cases, for example, that the blood went overnight, or the blood got spilled out, or the blood went out of its proper boundaries, v'nishchata b'layla, or the animal was shecht at night, d'bisreifa, those get burnt, and that's all sourced from the halacha l'Moshe Misinai. If something goes wrong by kodshim, you burn the remains, the less nehu b'chulin. But those things don't exist by regular animals. Those are only psulim because it's a karban. Right? Theoretically, you could shecht at night if the proper lighting was in place. There's a whole discussion how you're going to get the proper lighting in place so that he can do it properly. But theoretically, shechting at night intrinsically is only a problem by kodshim. And therefore, all those things are included in the halacha l'Moshe Misinai that they have to be burnt if something went wrong. Avol nitma, but tuma, the bechulin nami mifso. Tuma exists by chulin as well. A regular animal can become tamei. The meat of the animal can become tamei. Ema horu ve'isave be'uvdin dechol. All that happened here to the carbon is something that could just as well have happened to a regular animal. It became tamei. Ema loti ba'i sreifa. I would think it doesn't need sreifa. I would think that only psulim that are unique to karbanos require sreifa, burning. V'tiskile b'kivura. And all you have to do is bury it. Kamash malan comes to tell me that even a karban that becomes tamei, and that's its source of being invalidated, its source of becoming pasul, even such a case requires burning. Now, the Gemara introduced a very interesting Hava Amina. We would have thought, Tiski le bikvura, that it only needs burying. Rashi, the first wide line after the Gemara, V'tiski le bikvura, Rashi says, Ligonza min ha'ayin, to hide it. He uses the word geniza, what we call shamus. Ligonza, to hide it from the eye. Shelo yachluha klovim, so that the dogs do not eat it. It shouldn't be disgraced, but it doesn't intrinsically require the method that is supposed to be used in the case of kachim that become pasul. Kamash malon, the Gemara came to extrapolate from this pasuk, that this pasuk tells you that even if it becomes tameh, it requires burning. But again, what was the Hava Amina? The Hava Amina was that all it needs is kivura, burying, to hide it, so that dogs won't eat it, it shouldn't be disgraced. This theme exists by Shemos as well, to a certain extent. The poskim grapple with exactly what method of disposal is required for each type of tashmish kedusha, each type of thing that was used for a mitzvah, or that has Hashem's name in it in some form, or a Dvar Torah, etc. And one of the things that comes into play, according to some poskim, at least by some items of disposal, is simply that it should not be disgraced. It should be placed in a way that it's not disgraced, but does not actually require the strict guidelines of Geniza. So, without giving actual rulings, it's a touchy topic, but to be aware that a Sefer Torah, for example, that became pasul, at a certain point it can't be repaired, so that is supposed to be buried in a designated Kadosh-type spot, a Jewish cemetery near Tzadikim, in a waterproof encasement, earthenware, glass, specific hard-type plastic, something that's very secure that can be placed in a way that it won't become water-damaged and destroyed. But things that are lesser than a Sefer Torah, let's go extreme, newspapers, worksheets, or even more extreme, a becher that was used for making kiddush and clearly is something that was used for mitzvahs, the level of geniza definitely does get downgraded. In some cases, like a newspaper, wrapping it in simple plastic, the Divrei Torah to be wrapped in simple plastic so that they don't get directly disgraced, may be sufficient, and it doesn't actually have to be buried in the way of that type of kedusha. And again, that was the question over here in this Gemara, questioning and challenging what level of disposal. Is it the real, which by kachim would mean burning, or can it be downgraded from that grand level in the case discussed? Yeshikoach, have a great day.